Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, I don't think people really understood that they were in a casino. When you're in, you know, the streets casino, you got to play by their rules. But people didn't know they were in the casino.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away.
Well, Blossom Dearie may not have been singing about the subprime mortgage crisis when she recorded that song Once Upon a Time, but it's certainly a fitting start to the new documentary, American Casino, along with that comment from financial reporter Mark Pittman. The film, which opens today in Manhattan, traces the crisis from former Senate Finance Committee Chairman Phil Gramm to the vermin-infested swimming pools of foreclosed properties in Southern California. It was written and produced by the husband and wife team, Leslie and Andrew Coburn, and directed by Leslie, who you may know some of their Frontline documentaries. They join me now. Welcome back to the show, Andrew, and welcome, Leslie Coburn.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
You started this film in January of 2008, before the banking crisis of September. What story did you think you were going to be telling, Leslie, and how did it change?
Well, we actually thought we would be telling the story that we told.
Really?
There was quite a little financial earthquake in August of 2007. Financial stocks dropped seriously. Two hedge funds at Bear Stearns went broke. If you were looking at the market closely, leverage was completely out of control. And some of the big bond insurers were broke as well. And there was real fear on Capitol Hill behind the scenes about what was really going to happen. And at the same time, you had already foreclosures on the courthouse steps every 3 minutes.
So, Andrew, who were the gamblers and who was the house in the American casino? Or is that too literal an analogy?
No, not really. I think it fits exactly. Wall Street were the gamblers. I mean, they talk about bets. I mean, very, you know, that's, they
sure
talk about so-and-so's bet, this hedge fund's bet. And we were the chips. The house, I don't know if there was a house. I mean, we had a screening for Wall Street people in the spring at the Tribeca Festival, and a guy stood up and said, I'm from Las Vegas. The only difference between what we do and what they do here is we regulate gambling.
Well, that's interesting, because when you say gambling or casino, that sounds tainted somehow. But isn't there always risk in investments and loans? And is that so bad?
Well, it's when the whole point, I mean, what we're brought up to believe is that the financial system is the lubricant that enables our economy to move along and grow. And it's the most efficient way of, you know, getting people into houses. And
risk leads to innovation. Risk leads to wealth.
Well, it certainly led to innovation, which led to ruin in this case, very efficiently.
Did you have trouble, Leslie, finding lenders to talk to you? You show one Bear Stearns banker in shadow, though everyone else is identified.
Well, you know, getting people on Wall Street to talk about this off camera is not difficult at all. But when you're asking people to, in that position, we were looking for people right at the heart of this, you know, who were really making these CDOs, who were actually putting these things together, selling them to Korean bankers. And that's a small group of people who were really at the heart of the thing. So it took us months to convince someone to do this in shadow. And as you see, when you go to American Casino, the important thing about it is that when he talks the way they talk to each other. It's not like some expert you've seen on television talking about this. It's an insider, and as he reveals what he did, you really understand the scam.
Opening today, American Casino at Film Forum in Manhattan, right?
That's right.
Right around the corner from us. And here are two clips from the film. The first is of President Bush, and the second is a lawyer you interviewed.
Too many American families, too many minorities, do not own a home. There is a home ownership gap in America. The difference between Anglo-America and African-American and Hispanic home ownership is too big. We've got to focus the attention on this nation to address this.
Subprime lenders would target minority areas for their products that were bad. It was essentially marketing bad products or poisonous products to minority communities. And they did that because they knew that those areas were particularly vulnerable to their practices for the reason that the folks who lived in those neighborhoods had been for many years denied prime loans.
So in the film, I should point out, you play those clips in the opposite order, maybe because it kind of takes a shot at President Bush when he speaks after the subprime lenders accusation. But couldn't you just as easily have played a clip of President Clinton or Jesse Jackson saying the same thing as George Bush did about the minority to white people gap in home ownership?
Well, you could, except that George Bush, it's very interesting, he made that speech a number of times in 2002 in a very concentrated way. At the same time that there was this real push was taking off to make these what you have to call predatory loans to minority, you know, possible homeowners. And, you know, actually, coincidentally or not, one of his largest contributors was Roland R. Nahl, who founded and ran AmeriQuest, which was one of the most egregious subprime lenders. He afterwards made him ambassador to Holland, would you believe? And, you know, the fact that AmeriQuest, I mean, this was a truly egregious subprime lender, which had to pay hundreds of millions of dollars of fines in the end, who was very close to George Bush. So I question the sincerity of Bush or his advisors in promoting this business.
But what are you saying? Are you saying that they were not really concerned about the home ownership gap? They just wanted to help their friends in the kind of exploitative subprime mortgage business to make money off low-income black and Hispanic people?
Well, they certainly did exploit the subprime, people in these areas.
But in terms of the motivation of the President of the United States?
I think that it's important to remember that at that time, not only was it the beginning of this kind of targeting of minorities, but also on Wall Street, they started packaging subprime loans into these bonds in a way that they hadn't before. Before, you had bonds that would be a whole group of things. You know, you might have a corporate interest here, a car loan here, a variety of things. And they realized that packaging subprime exclusively brought in much, much more yield. And then it just became a kind of a tidal wave of doing this kind of stuff. And when you look at what happens in Washington, you do have pressure and lobbying going on, not only from lenders, but of course, one of the most powerful lobbies in Washington are the banks.
And that second excerpt, that clip in that little montage, was John Relman, an attorney who accuses the subprime lenders of what he calls reverse redlining. And he sees this as a key civil rights issue. We have talked about redlining for decades, which is locking people of color out of home ownership and out of middle-class neighborhoods. Is there evidence of reverse redlining? And is there, I guess you're explaining why there is such a thing as trying to include too many people.
Yeah, the city of Baltimore filed suit in 2008 against Wells Fargo, charging that they were indeed doing just that, reverse redlining, where they were specifically targeting African Americans and minorities for these, as Relman puts it, bad loan products. The state of Illinois has just filed suit against Wells Fargo on the same grounds, and the NAACP has also filed a similar suit. So we'll see in the next year or so where these suits go. I think there'll be some very interesting things that come out of it. Certainly, they believe very strongly that this happened in Baltimore, where we spent a lot of time in the film. And it's also important to remember when we talked to this banker in shadow, he talked to us and he talks to the audience about how they came a point where they needed so many of these loans that they had to, quote, feed the CDOs, collateralized debt obligations, these giant packages. They had to feed them with more and more loans at a time when most ordinary folks already had a loan or had already refied.
Andrew and Leslie Coburn, my guests on WNYC, makers of the new film American Casino, which opens at the Film Forum in Lower Manhattan today. And you managed to trace, Andrew, one foreclosure from the high school teacher in Baltimore who had to file bankruptcy to the bank in New York.
Yet to Goldman Sachs itself. And indeed, at a time, it was we found Denzel Mitchell, who was this high school teacher in Baltimore, and we were able, actually, feeling very pleased about this, that we were able to find him in a Goldman Sachs. It was actually, it was called GSAMP HE2 2006, which is a $600 million bond, roughly. And Denzel was in there, and there was the human being in the electronic, sort of this parallel universe.
The packaging of so many mortgages as securities, right?
Yes, and at a time, this was put together and sold at a time when Goldman Sachs was run by Henry Paulson, who later on, of course, became Treasury Secretary and ran to Congress to ask them and us to bail out his former employers and everyone else.
Which is why it's not just the mortgage holders, but the entire American public who you refer to as the chips in the casino.
Precisely.
What needs to happen now, Leslie? Does the film, which I haven't seen, take a stand on that?
The film doesn't take a stand. There's no narration in this film. In this film, you're introduced to all these people, and they just talk, which is very interesting because there's no filter between you and the banker, you and the former ratings executive, you and the person who made $500 million out of this, or you and the person who is suffering terribly at the lower end. The film doesn't take a stand, but what it does is reveal obvious places where there should be reform. And in some of those places, like, for example, the relationship between the ratings agencies and the banks, ratings agencies in the middle of all of this, you know, when it was a very, very hot market, the ratings agencies were paid by the investment banks. It was a situation which could be easily construed as a serious conflict of interest. And those kinds of things, they seem very simple, but like, for example, another one is that you should have better capital requirements for banks. They should have to set money aside. You know, you shouldn't be able to gamble with credit default swaps. All these things are still happening.
And one of the experts featured in the film, Michael Greenberger, who was part of the Clinton administration, traces the start of the crisis to Republican Senator Phil Graham's deregulation of the banking industry, but then most Republicans trace it to the Clintons allowing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to get so deeply into the subprime market. So blame to go around?
I think the Republicans are keen to blame it on Fannie Mae, on government. I mean,
on government, and they would say government wanting to pander to black people.
Yeah, well, they would, wouldn't they? The Republicans would say that. We don't take a position on that, but I will say that when you have, you know, this notion that a bunch of, you know, single African-American mothers in Baltimore conspired together to bring down the global financial system doesn't really sound very logical. I mean, it's...
Or themselves being exploited by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae in the same ways that the private banks did so for the political gain of the politicians who wanted to say that they were expanding home ownership into more communities? Or do you think that's unfair?
Well, don't forget that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are private companies. They don't belong to the government. They had a special relationship.
But they had to be responsive to pressure in this respect.
But right? When you look at the sequence of events, you see that in making these kinds of loans, Fannie and Freddie were just bulldozed by the big banks. The big banks had gotten into this, and the market got very overheated, and Fannie and Freddie both said, well, we better jump in too. So I think, we sort of tried to, for our own research, pull that apart and see who was leading the parade.
We've got about 20 seconds. You're better known for international conflict and nuclear proliferation as your typical film subject matter. How did this compare?
Oh, well, this is the disaster that really happened. I mean, and that it's right here at home. In fact, if you look at subprime neighborhoods like we do in the film in like Riverside, California, you think maybe we're talking about a nuclear event.
We will have to leave it there. American Casino opens today at Film Forum on West Houston Street in Manhattan. Thanks to the filmmakers Andrew and Leslie Coburn for joining us today. Where's the percentage on your mortgage and your house is gone? Where's the percentage on your mortgage and your life is gone? Where's the percentage on your mortgage? Where's the percentage on your mortgage? Where's the percentage on your mortgage and your house is gone? Where's the percentage on your mortgage?
mortgage in your life is gone. Raise the percentage on your mortgage. Raise the percentage on your mortgage. Raise the percentage on your mortgage in your house.